Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale with helpful tips of books to read and shows to watch and playlists for your trips and playlists for your trips.
Yes, everybody.
Okay, wait. You took us by surprise.
Listeners, you have to understand, Kristen and I had no idea that was coming because these are unscripted.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. Oh, God, Carolyn, I love you so much for that.
Well, thank you. I'm sorry for listeners. Please stay on. I know my singing might have hurt your ears, but please don't hang up on us or whatever.
It was beautiful. Yeah. I love it.
Yes. So that's exactly what we're going to be doing today, listeners. We are going to share some recommendations with you of the things that we are listening to and watching and reading and all the good stuff.
Basically, we're taking a really fun little recurring feature from our weekly reader. We try to do it about once a month where we share what we're reading, watching, and listening to, and we're bringing it to the mics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because we know, I think I said this in one of our PCPS Lights before, people read things and watch things based on two primary things. And that is when their friends tell them, the number one is when their friends tell them to watch it or read it or listen to it. The other is online reviews. So here we're telling you what to watch and what to read.
I love getting recs from people. Even if it's like, oh, that's not my taste.
Yeah.
I follow so many like bookstagrammers and stuff online because I love getting or stepping out of my comfort zone. And, you know, if someone's really passionate about it, I'm like, maybe I'll try to read that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I do have a fun little nugget about Gilligan's Island. So my brother sent me a link about the Gilligan's Island theme. And it turns out that
Jerry Goldsmith wrote it.
Previous episode. Yep. Composer for Aliens and Star Trek and all the movies that
and American Tale.
And American Titanic. Tale. Yeah, not Aaron Neville. It doesn't have anything to do with Aaron Neville. Nothing at all. No, if you listen to the melody of Gilligan, I'm confusing too. Yeah. That melody, take away the rhythm, but take that melody, and it's the same melody as Let It Whip by the Daz Band. It's hard. I admit it. It's hard to wrap your brain around it. But just Google it, and you'll see the Daz Band like singing it and going, oh, my God.
Isn't that cool, though, that these same notes and everything can just the way they're how long you play them or whatever can have a totally different sound that different you don't song. Even recognize. I'm like, I'm sitting different here song. Going, no, Kristen, I'm just going to humor you and say, okay, but I don't believe you.
Yeah. Like if you just go, sit right back. And then you go, da-na-na-na-na-na. It's okay. Right back.
Okay. I believe
it's hard. It's
hard. Mm-hmm. And we do have a related episode. If you are a fan of Gilligan's Island, we do have an episode for that. It's the one we've mentioned already, but it's where we're talking about the reruns we watched after school. And Gilligan's Island came in, I believe, if not. I'm not even going to spoil it because it's somewhere up in the high. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't have anything about the Daz Band, but we really should.
We do. We should, yeah.
And you know what? I just learned what Daz means.
What?
Honestly, you guys, how did we not know this? Daz is the combination of disco and jazz.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
I just learned that like 2 days ago.
The more band. You know. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We're always learning.
Okay, so that's not the topic of this discussion.
No, we're supposed to be sharing what we're reading right now. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right, do you want me to start?
Sure.
Okay, so something that I just finished, I'm kind of in the middle of about three or four different books, but a book that I just finished that I loved is called Finding Grace. That's the last book I finished, and 10 out of 10, I highly recommend. It was nice to have a book that I was like, I can't wait to pick that up. And I think I read the whole thing in 2 days. I loved it. Currently, I'm reading a book that we're going to do book club on in season 17. And that's I Know What You Did Last Summer by Lois Duncan from 1973. And I have so much to say about it, but I'm saving it for season 17.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I have to follow up on your Finding Grace. When you read Finding Grace, just let us know what you think about the end of chapter one. Okay. That's all I'm going to say. But here's the other thing about Finding Grace. I believe that it is the intersection of a book called The Latecomer by Jean Corlitz. Is that the right name? And a Richard Curtis movie. Richard Curtis did Four Weddings and a Funeral. He did Notting Hill. He did Love Actually. I think these two things are the intersection of Finding Grace.
It's a book that I honestly did not know which way it was going to go. Like, I couldn't predict And maybe at the end you think you do or you think you didn't, whatever. But there kept being these little twists in it that kept me picking it back up. She thought it was fate. I knew it wasn't. Honor seems to have everything. She adores her bright and beautiful daughter, Chloe, and her charming, handsome husband, Tom, even if he works 100 hours a week. Yet Honor's longing for another baby threatens to eclipse it all until a shocking event changes their lives forever. Years later, Tom makes a decision that ripples through their family's lives in ways he could never have foreseen. Mm-hmm. As the consequences of that fateful choice unfold, two women's paths become irrevocably intertwined. Those of you listening that you have read it, you know why it's hard to tell someone about this book.
That's right.
Because there are a couple things. It would be the greatest book club discussion book mm-hmm. because I have so much to say about the different narrators in the book and how that was a surprise. And there's just a lot to say. Let's just say that I haven't talked to one person who has read this book that hasn't loved it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I promise I will read it after I finish what I am currently reading and
what's
going to share with you guys. It is not a recent publication. It is historical fiction. The title is New York, and it's by Edward Rutherford. And I'm reading it. It's the history, basically, of the city of New York from the 1600s through, well, I don't know how far it goes because I'm only like in the, basically
done.
In the 1700s yeah. right now. But I love learning about history via a good narrative and a story. So I don't care if a few of the people in the story aren't real. The historical events that are happening are real and they put things in context.
Yeah.
And the reason I chose to read it was because I'm also, this is not what I'm sharing in the watching part, but I am also watching The Gilded Age. And that's obviously a huge part of the history of New York. Mm-hmm. And this is almost giving the backstory to that story. So you learn why Wall Street is named Wall Street. I mean, literally there was, New York was a fort. It was, there was like kind of a fortress there. And that was where the wall was on this particular
really? It's
street.
It's not a person's name.
Nope. It is not a person's name. So you learn interesting things that you just kind of take for granted as to why Broadway is named Broadway and why, you know, certain streets are named where they are and why certain parks
and
are where they
it's
are.
It's historical fiction, you're saying. It's not.
Correct.
This is not a nonfiction book.
No, it is not. This is a story. So I think basically the people and the characters that you follow in the book, much like The Gilded Age, where we have fictional characters, but there are also real people that really lived during that time are characters in that story, too. So it's similar in that way. But it gives a perspective of the beginnings of this city that we all know and love and that we're seeing in kind of a different way mm-hmm. in the Gilded Age series. And mm-hmm. the book was recommended to me by a friend who reads a lot of books about New York, and she said this was her favorite. So, so it's the actually
and
New
who's the
York.
Author?
It
who's the author?
Is Edward Rutherford.
These will all go in our bookshop.org bookshelf, whatever that thing is called.
Yeah.
And for the people who are afraid of big books, Carolyn, can you tell me how many pages it has?
Well, you know, the good thing maybe was that I got it on Kindle. And actually, I didn't get it on Kindle. I got it on Libby. So it is through my library. And I love that because I don't know how big it is. And
it helps.
It does because mm-hmm. I will be intimidated and sometimes won't pick up a book
because
I don't really pay attention to the bottom part, you know, where you feel like you've
percentage.
Been reading it forever. Yeah. And it says you're 3% through the book and you figure, I'm not 73% through the book, but I mean, it's keeping me engaged so far. And I guess I just like thinking it's making me smarter.
Mm-hmm. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds good. Especially for those people who are watching The Gilded Age.
Yes.
It's nice to get a little bit of context.
Exactly.
Okay. The book that I am fawning over this summer. This is my favorite book of the whole summer, except for the one that I'm reading right now, which I'll tell you about too. But the one that I'm going to be recommending this to everybody, but with a caveat, is called Vera or Faith by Gary Steingart. And the caveat is you need to know that I love a book with quirky characters. Quirky, quirky, quirky. I love character-driven things. And so this book could feel a little weird, which I love. But if you're like, this is weird, then you're not going to like this book. It's a slim little book, so it will go fast. This book is also told through the perspective of a child. I love an adult novel that is told through the perspective of a child. And what I want to say is that this is not a book about autism. However, this main character whose world we're seeing through her eyes, she does have traits that could be attributed to autism. They just never say that. But she has some stimming things, and she talks a lot about how she's trying to work on reading people's faces. She's trying to work on making friends. She has like rules that she has. Okay, so when you're going to make a friend, you have to look at their face. And then when they smile, then you smile back. And it's very heartwarming. And it's a really funny story too, that it's really cute. It's really intriguing because there's a little bit of intrigue in it, and there's a little bit of family drama too. So there's mom, dad, there's little brother, there are people at school, and all she wants is to make one friend and figure out where her dad goes at night. Where is he going? And so she actually becomes a little spy to figure out where he's going. And these people are so unique and so original. I really loved it.
Great. Yeah, we'll definitely put that in our bookshop.org. Those of you who love to read, visit
Vera
our store.
Or Faith.
Yeah,
yes.
Bookshop.org. And then do you put PCPS in somewhere?
I don't know. You have to look for our link. Find our link.
Yeah, there's a link somewhere.
There's a link somewhere. Okay.
There's a link in our link in bio. And
oh, yeah, link in our link tree. There's a link to our bookshop.
Is. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's move on to what we're currently watching. And I think before we all share individual shows, one thing that we all three of us have watched, I've now watched it completely through twice, is a Netflix sitcom, because I wanted my husband to watch it, because I was like, you would love this, and he did. He actually
Andy
liked
loves
it a lot,
too.
Yep. So, and I love it, and that is Leanne on Netflix. Leanne Morgan is the comedian who the Netflix series is named after. It's not really based on her life, because she is happily married, and in this show, Leanne is, you know, 50, supposed to be like 58, 59 degrees. 59 degrees, 59 years old, and her husband leaves her for
nice?
A younger
I wish
woman.
I was 59 degrees.
And so it's just, I just love the whole cast. Kristen Johnston plays her sister. And so there are a lot of elements in the show that come from her stand-up act. So there's lots of menopause jokes, lots of aging jokes, lots of empty nest jokes, lots of how much you love your kids are in there, your grown kids.
Very Southern, very
they live Southern,
in Knoxville.
And
they live in Knoxville,
just
Tennessee.
Daddy. Should they call?
Daddy,
you know, she's like daddy, mama, and daddy. Oh, daddy. They've got to bathe mama, and then Leanne. You know, she's got to take to her bed. I got to take to the bed. I would go to bed at night hearing her voice in my head. We all highly recommend it, right?
Cute characters. So again, cute. I'm always about the characters. And Mama and Daddy are really, really cute.
And you'll recognize both of them.
Yes,
they've been in a million other things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You will.
And they're just droll and innocent and cute. And even her children, you know, it's a multi-generational thing. And I think that's really fun for us, because that's where we are. Our children come and go. We're taking care of our parents. She's exactly where we are right now. And there are not a lot of characters, let alone an entire TV show dedicated to a woman of a certain age who has hot flashes. Like there's one scene where she's on a date, and she hasn't been on a date in 35 years or something. And she just gets she's like sweat pouring off her upper lip. And she's like, why is this happening to me right now?
And then there's little sweet Mary. You'll recognize her from Glee season one. Gemma Mays, I think is her name
in
real life.
Can we talk about who her love interest is becoming?
Yes, could we please?
Because looking hot as shit.
My God. All of you Wings fans. Yes. I loved the show Wings.
And this is Tim Daly, everybody.
Wings.
It's Tim Daly. Tyne Daly's brother. But he is looking so good. Not like he's trying to look young or anything.
No.
He's looking just the age he should be. But yeah, mighty fine. And the writing between those two is so good. And their chemistry is so good. I was watching the episode actually where they meet. And I thought, I wonder if she had to do a bunch of whatever they call those things when you try to see.
Screen test.
Mm-hmm. Because I just think their banter and timing and everything is so good.
Cute.
And I think, I'm just going to say this one line. You guys might know what it means. But I told Andy, I said, I think this is the funniest line so far. It might be one of the funniest in the whole my whole TV watching. He's commenting and kind of complimenting what she's wearing. And I always like to tell people if I got like a bargain somewhere, I'm like, oh, I got this at TJ Maxx. You know, it was $100, but I got it for $25. But she says to him, she's like, Kohl's cash.
Kohl's cash.
And she's so proud. She's so proud. She's like, Kohl's
cash. I can just
cash.
So relate. It was, mm-hmm. And yes. It looks like mine, probably with Kohl's cash. It was just so funny.
Mine was
it.
When she's looking at her neck with her sisters in one of the early episodes, and she's like, it's like a pelican swallowed a mackerel. Yes. Like our necks or so. So it's a Chuck Lorre show, which if you were a fan of a Mom or Two and a Half Men. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very quick and witty like that. And you'll know it's a Chuck Lorre show because of the title, the Leanne. It's just the same Two and a Half Men beginning or whatever. But
it's classic sitcom.
Classic sitcom.
It's throwback sitcom. So for some people, like for our children, it's going to feel canned and weird. But for us, you're like, thank God we've got comedy back.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's good comedy. I mean, to me, at least some of these kind of old school sitcoms that they've tried to have on network TV or even on, you know, the streaming services, they've just been forced. It's like, it wasn't that funny, but the laugh track is laughing really hard. And you're thinking, no, I'm not that off.
Well, and it's been a hot second since I've watched a show like that. So I will say when I started watching Leanne, I was like, oh, no. Like,
it feels
awkward. But very quickly, it's funny. All right. So other things we're watching. So Carolyn, you've already mentioned it. So I'm now in my second watch of The Gilded Age because season 3 just ended last week. When you hear this, you guys, it will have ended probably several weeks ago.
No spoilers because I'm not finished.
I am so obsessed with that show. I love how it's an almost campy drama. I want to tell you, our good friend Shane, who's 87 Ragged Tiger, we text back and forth about every detail of every episode. He describes it as if Dynasty and Downton Abbey had a baby.
Yes.
Which I think is such a perfect explanation of this. I'm so into it. I love Bertha, Carrie Coon, and Agnes, who's played by Christine Baranski, and Ada, played by Cynthia Nixon. But my favorite characters, hands down, are the dresses and the hats. Oh, like, that is a character in this show.
Gosh,
so are the sets. But the dresses and the hats, I pause. And that's why Shane and I will text about the wigs and the hats and the dresses. And it's so beautiful. And you do learn a lot, especially if you listen to the podcast, the official companion podcast after. One of the hosts of that is also the host of a podcast called The Bowery Brothers, which is all New York history. And he comes to the discussion about every episode with actual newspapers from 1892 or whatever. So he's fact checking every single thing that was in the episode. And I would say about 90% of it, if it's not completely accurate, it actually happened. It is based on something that happened. So, you know, Julian Fellowes et al., they are so brilliant with this show, but I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. And now that we have to wait a whole nother year, I've started it again because I love it. And another thing I'm watching, which is from 2020, I watched it in 2020 and loved it. And now it's on Netflix and it's called Love Life. And there's two seasons. Season one is the one I love. That's with Anna Kendrick. And it basically, they're little 20-minute episodes, but it takes about a decade of her life. And each episode is called like whatever the man's name is she's dating. So it might be called like Luke Deschamps or whatever. And then there's a narrator. You know how like it's always funny, like if someone will say something like, I am never going to buy another thing online. And then it'll go narrator. But of course she was going to buy another thing online. We all knew she was going to buy another thing online.
I love that.
So you've got the British narrator who narrates the whole thing. You will love it. And it also is how she grows through each of these relationships. So sometimes she's in college and sometimes she's back in high school. And then sometimes she's current day. And especially the current day ones, you're going to love her roommates. And sometimes these love interests are intertwined. Like, oh, wait, he's coming back around. So it's also about how much she learned from these relationships, how much they grow. Season two is the actor from The Good Place. So it's a whole different, series. Season one is amazing. I highly recommend it. You guys will love it.
Okay. And what is that on? Did you say?
It's on Netflix right now. Netflix. I think when it first came out in 2020, I watched it on like HBO Max or something, but now it just dropped. She's been doing press about it because even though it's 5 years old, Netflix just picked it up. So
Okay, good. I will add that to my list. Mm-hmm. I just finished watching. So the first season is complete, and thank goodness they renewed it for a second season because it is great and it is feel good. It's called Stick. It is on Apple TV. It stars Owen Wilson. And he's such a cutie. I just love it. I love his character. It's very Ted Lasso-esque. It's, you know, you'll cry, you'll laugh, you'll do all the things. But that's just what I need to be doing right now. Yeah. And mm-hmm. so it fits that bill wonderfully. The young actor, so it's basically golf-themed. And Owen Wilson had been this very successful professional golfer. And then some tragedy happens in his life and he is not now, let's say, a professional golfer, but he finds this young protege, this kid who was just this wunderkind, as they like to say. But the boy who plays this part, it's his first big role, or his first role it might be, and he had to kind of learn golf to play it, and he is so cute. I mean, obviously he could be like probably my grandson, but he is a cutie patootie. And so the casting is great, and it's just a feel good show. So
good for summertime.
Yes. Or yeah. Just when you need a little pick me up and when you know that life can be really hard, but there's some silver linings when you can kind of sometimes get through the shit. So
I'm glad to know that. I have that on my list because I'm a huge fan of Judy Greer.
Yes.
And so I know she's in it. So mm-hmm. I'm glad to hear that you give it a thumbs up.
I definitely. Hey, PCPS friends, it's Carolyn here. Did you know that I'm turning 60 this year? And to celebrate, I'm not buying a Trans Am or reliving my Aquanet years. I'm participating in the Chicago Marathon. And now before you picture me in one of those old Jane Fonda workout tapes with leg warmers and a sweatband, don't worry, I'll be wearing proper running shoes. Here's the real reason I'm doing this. I'm running to raise money for Down syndrome research through the Lumind Foundation. My inspiration is a very special little guy, my friend's grandson, baby Leo. Every time I lace up my shoes, I think of his smile. So here's where you come in. Just like we all chipped in for concert tickets or showed up with our quarters for Pac-Man, I'm asking you to show up for me and for Leo. Every donation, no matter how small, moves us closer to breakthroughs in Down syndrome research. You can find the link to donate in our show notes or head to the PCPS socials and click the link in bio. Help me make my 60th birthday about more than miles. Let's make it about love, hope, and the Gen X superpower of showing up. Because just like we learned from the Breakfast Club, we're stronger together.
I've been, I think for that same reason, you know, when we need a pick-me-up, I don't have any new shows that I'm watching right now because I'm rehashing things that I know that I love because I need the pick-me-up. Yeah. So I'm rewatching Never Have I Ever, which I absolutely love. That's a Mindy Kaling show. Again, is it from 2023? I mean, I think it's 2023. And it's about high schoolers and it's not made for me, but I love it. And I think the writing is amazing. And mm-hmm. I love Paxton H.Y., the love interest.
Yep.
I have a little crush on Paxton H.Y. And then I've also gone through the entire season of an old, old show from, I think, like 2016 called Life in Pieces. A classic sitcom.
I love that sitcom.
It's a good show.
Much. You know what? I want to watch that again.
Diane Wiest is the matriarch of the family, and she's hilarious. She's so, so good, and she should be on TV more. And it's this big family comedy, like the extended family, and they all live in the same neighborhood. And the writing was really, really clever. Colin Hanks's son is in it.
Tom Hanks is the actor. I love that whole cast. And what's funny is I came to that show only about 2 years ago and binged the whole thing streaming. And it was just such a comfort. And I think you're talking about watching a show again and me finishing Gilded Age, but loving it and thinking, well, that's what I'm going to start again, or going back to 30 something or whatever. We need that right now. We need we need a certainty.
Yep.
We need a show that we know we loved, even if nobody else liked it, whatever.
Right.
But it was a show that we loved, brought us comfort. I think that's really key right now. And we do talk about that a lot on this podcast. And a lot of our listeners tell us what do they watch at night? They watch Mary Tyler Moore.
Yes.
They watch Family. Yeah. They watch reruns of Family Affair, you know, The Love Boat. They watch things shows that they know are, just a comfort. I will say, did you guys watch the best show Brian and I have watched together? I would say this past year was the Apple TV show called The Studio with Seth Rogen.
Oh, that's on
that's
my list,
another
but I
good
it
one.
It got 23 okay. Emmy nominations, I believe, second to like Severance only. It is so, so good. And I love that it's a show that each episode kind of stands alone.
Yeah.
Highly recommend. It took us about 2 episodes to get into it.
Yeah.
And then we couldn't stop watching it. And it's almost every episode is done in a one shot, which means that the cameraman is just running around following them they have it.
Yeah.
So you also have to understand how hard it is for the cameraman, but how hard it is for the actors, because it's almost like they're doing a 30-minute play.
There's no rest.
They don't cut. They're not cutting. Mm-hmm. They're not. Now, there are some obvious places where they cut it. You know, all of a sudden it's nighttime or whatever. But for the most part, those episodes are done in one shot, which is brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to add a movie to the list too, because I'm a big, not a movie watcher. I don't watch a lot of movies at home, but I do go to movies. Mm. And most of the time I'm doing this by myself because my family doesn't care to go to movies. So anyway, the last movie that I went to see was the new Stephen King movie called The Life of Chuck. And it's hard for those movies to get any attention. That's why I want to bring it up, because all of the movies that are being released right now are franchise movies.
Right.
Almost everything. And how do you even find out about the ones that aren't franchise movies? Because we don't have commercials on TV. We don't have it in the newspaper. How do you even find out what movies are out there? So it's possible when I say The Life of Chuck, you've never even heard of it. And yet it's a Stephen King movie. So it's a movie that's based on this novella written by Stephen King. So it's not full-on horror like his other stuff is. You know, sometimes he'll do a Shawshank Redemption or Stand By Me. He does these little novellas that get turned into movies. That's what Life of Chuck is, with a small scary element to it that's not really very scary.
Ooh, that sounds intriguing. I kind of want to see that now.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I think I recommend it.
You're not sure? Scary, not scary? We'll have to all look for that one. So let's wrap up with what we're listening to, shall we?
Yeah.
So I've been transformed by the book I just listened to, you guys. Truly transformed. It's called Signs.
Oh, I thought it was called I Just Listened to You Guys.
I did too. I thought, hold on. Okay.
I haven't heard of that.
I know. I'm just glad that Amelia Bedelia was, you know, living in both of us.
Okay. Oh, that's great. It's called Signs, The Secret Language of the Universe. And it's by a psychic medium named Laura Lynn Jackson. And it's basically a book that teaches us how to recognize and interpret the messages from loved ones and spirit guides on the other side. And I know this is very woo-woo and whatever, but, you know, I don't say buy into it. I believe in all the woo-woo, and I've had just some really tremendous experiences lately with psychic mediums and stuff, since y'all know, like, losing my mom a year ago. And so this book, though, is what kind of started all this for me. The message at the core of this book is that you don't have to be a psychic to understand the secret language of the universe. That's what she calls it.
Mm-hmm.
The asking for and the receiving of signs is something that's available to us all. In fact, our spirit guides and our teams of light and loved ones who have crossed are sending us signs all the time. You just need to know how to see them. And let me tell you, once I learned what to ask for and what to look for, by listening to this book, it's basically just a whole bunch of stories that are unbelievable. You're like, did you make that up? But I believe that she did not. But once I learned what to ask for and what to look for, I started seeing signs from my mom all over the place. I actually apologized to her about a month or so ago. And I was like, Mother, I'm so sorry. I wasn't looking for so long. You must have been sending me these signs for so long. And you must be so relieved now, you know? And the stories I have about the things I've asked for that are so bizarre and specific and that she sent me, you guys, I'm telling you, it's crazy. And so to say this book has been transformative and wildly comforting for me is to put it mildly, because I now feel like it is a secret language. I do feel like I can talk to my mom now and she's responding. And I will say, again, I'm going to get woo-woo, but y'all just, you have to, that's who I am now, I guess. That's me now. Mm-hmm. But when I then went and saw a psychic medium, my mom said, yes, thank you. Like, I didn't tell her any of this. Yeah. And my mom was like, oh my God, yes. Like, basically, oh, I'm so glad you're seeing the signs finally. And I'm like, wait, what? So it's stuff I've talked to my mom about in private. And then anyway, the book is called, again, the book is called Signs, The Secret Language of the Universe by Laura Lynn Jackson. I enjoyed listening to it because I kind of did both. I have the physical copy too. She has another one that, Carolyn, you're the one that first told me about Laura Lynn Jackson. It's called The Light Between Us. That's the first one. Years ago, you told us about that one. And then you know what? Her next one is coming out, and it's coming out on 11/11.
Oh, good for her.
And that's my mom's birthday.
Oh, even better. Oh, my God.
Wow. So it's coming out this November. So I'll get that one, too. So I do have The Light Between Us as well. I just haven't read it or listened to it yet. But I highly recommend it if you have lost a loved one and you've just been wondering, are they trying to send me signs? They are. You need to learn how to look for them, and you need to learn how to ask for specific things. So that's mine.
That's so cool. And I think there are so many people, especially people our age out there who have recently lost parents, who miss their parents, and they just want to connect with people on whatever level is available. We don't know what that is. How do we know, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what I also like about this book is it's not like based on religion. So it's all about, it's like quantum physics. That's how the psychic medium that I went to explained it. It's all about our energy. Mm-hmm. You know, we once were energy and we're now energy, and it's all about energy. That's why you get a lot of, my mother-in-law is also apparently the lights that flicker in my house that I change the light bulb and they still flicker. No, that's her.
Yeah.
Because that energy, especially things like electricity or phones, like if a phone, you know, your phone buzzes and you pick it up and no one's there, this kind of thing. So
how about plants? Because I have a rose bush in my backyard that was planted by Walter. Walter is the former owner of this home. Actually, Walter grew up in this house. Walter's dad built this house. He grew up in the house, and then he died in this house, essentially. And he had beautiful rose gardens. And somebody at one point tore out all the rose gardens. And the neighbors were super upset about it. But there's one rose bush that keeps coming back. And I have dug up this rose bush. It came back. I hired someone to dig up the rose bush. It comes back. So I'm like, all right, Walter, I got you. You can stay.
But I love that. Yes, that could very well be. And I love that you talk to Walter more.
Yeah.
And say, like, Walter, you know.
I see you, Walter.
I can't even tell you it's so bizarre, you guys, when I'm like, I want a specific color of butterfly. And then, you know, 2 days later, a place I've never seen a butterfly like that before, you know, there was one dead on my sidewalk. And I was like, Mother, no.
Are you okay?
I know. Oh, no. Don't do this again.
I can't do it.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, when you were sharing with us kind of in real time as you were reading that book or listening to it and getting ready to go to the psychic, and I did a little bit of my own kind of requesting some things from my dad, and all I got to say is, okay, Dad, I see you. I mean, what I got was so in your face, like it couldn't be missed. And so I'm grateful that there is some quantum physics, some science. Yep. There is a little science behind this. It's not necessarily all woo-woo. So
just ask Scott Bakula.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Well, it's from the show Quantum Physics. Yes, Quantum Leap.
Quantum Leap.
Quantum Leap. Mm-hmm.
It's not called Quantum Physics.
The psychic I went to told me to watch the movie Interstellar, though. Do you know that one? Oh, it's like a three-hour movie, but she's like, it'll explain it all. I was like, all right.
And it was really long.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what she said. She goes, she did say, that's 3 hours of your life. You're never going to get back, though.
Right. You can do one of your little crafts while you're watching. Well, I'm going to share with you what I've been listening to. Actually, two things, but one of them got me to listen to the second one. So I had recently listened to Amy Poehler's podcast, Good Hang, and she had on a guest named Zarna Garg. And if you don't know who Zarna Garg is, Zarna Garg, and we'll have all of her links and everything in our show notes and in Weekly Reader, because you have to find this woman and you have to listen to her. That podcast episode is a great introduction to who she is and what she's about. She's a comedian, born in India, and her life story is incredible, is all I'm going to say. It prompted me this episode to get her book and listen to it on audio, because you guys, she is so funny. And there is just something, especially we've talked about this before, about reading or listening to memoirs with the inflection, and kind of you almost get a little bit more of the backstory when they're reading it to you. So her book is called This American Woman, A One in a Billion Memoir. It is funny, of course, because she's a comedian. It is sad. I cried on some of my runs as I was listening. I am now going to purchase the hard copy of the book because there are so many things I want to underline that she said.
I love it when
so profound and meaningful and all the things. And anyway, that's my recommendation. I think you all will be entertained with the podcast episode. She and Amy have this great back and forth.
Yeah.
And Amy and Tina are kind of are and were instrumental in kind of getting Zarna one of the big lifts that she needed. So it's a lot about, you know, women empowerment and helping each other and, you know, in this case, a comedian's empowering other comedians, and it's you're collaborating, you're cooperating, you're uplifting. It's not competition, and how we can all do that for each other. So it's a powerful message. I love the book. I love Zarna. My next bucket list guest is Zarna, because she learned about American culture when she lived in India through Gen X, like pop culture. You know, she'll say
TV shows and music.
So, So she's
In our show notes, we'll have both the link to the podcast where you were introduced to her and the link to her book.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, that's cool. I'm looking forward to that.
And I'll put it in the Weekly Reader this Friday as well. And, you know, Carolyn, you've been a champion of her since you learned about her. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad I finally I should say, too, that my favorite podcast right now, besides ours, not favorite, but one that, you know, I don't want to, like, think about, like, you know, talking to my mom and, you know, spirits, is Amy Poehler's. I really like hers a lot.
Yes.
But that's a great episode. And so I'm glad to hear they do talk about, but Amy keeps saying, I read your book and how good it is. And I read it. And I was thinking the whole time I was listening to it, I kind of want to listen to it if she reads it, because I also love her like voice and her accent. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad to hear you say that you think the listening was very worthwhile.
Yes.
And I'm the same way with you are. And I think you are too, Kristen. We love to listen to memoirs.
Definitely.
Or autobiography. Yeah. That's really all I really like to listen to.
Yeah. And one more tip when you do listen, and to our listeners, if you listen to her book, listen all the way through. Listen through the acknowledgments. Listen till there's no more sound coming out. The acknowledgments are hysterical. It is so good. It's just as entertaining as the story. So make sure you go all the way till the very end.
I always read if you guys don't read the acknowledgments, start reading the acknowledgments, because some people put a lot of work into them, and you might even see people you know. You'll be like, wait, that's her brother?
Right.
But I saw him on Broadway in 1972. You know, there's always something that you find. It's crazy. Yes. It's like credits in the movie.
Mm-hmm. I like the acknowledgments in books a lot too. Mm-hmm. And Kristen, we know this about you, and you all that have Worldwide Crush or Scott Fenwick Diaries, read the acknowledgments.
Read the acknowledgments.
They are hilarious too. Yes. And two, Carolyn and I are mentioned. Yeah. So there you go.
Most importantly.
And we'll sign it. Next time you bring it up to Kristen and you want it signed, flip back to the acknowledgments. Carolyn and I will sign it.
Wouldn't that be funny? You guys, we should totally do that. We're all at the signing table and you're going to flip to page, you know, 298 where you're mentioning the
index. No, it's just like V-I-I.
V-I-I. Okay, I have two selections for you, but I'll be quick. The first one, just like you guys, I don't listen to a lot of fiction. That's not how my brain works, but I do like listening to some nonfiction if I like the narrator. The narrator of Careless People is a woman from New Zealand. And so her voice is beautiful.
Love a New Zealand accent.
It's It's fantastic. And she is a woman who was one of the higher ups at Facebook from its very beginning. And as a lot of you have been following me on social media, and you see that I'm having this existential crisis about my life and social media and whether or not I should be there. And is it the most evil thing that has ever been created? And I hate Mark Zuckerberg and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, she is able to tell you the story of, yes, you should hate Mark Zuckerberg, yes. Essentially.
I'm over here shaking my head. Yes.
Oh, my God. It's called Careless People for a reason. These people don't care about you. Just a really quick story to illustrate that. There was at one point where Facebook ran afoul of the law in Myanmar, and they were going to throw somebody in jail. Somebody was going to be in jail. And Mark was like, well, I'm not going to jail, even though it's his company. So I was like, dude, you should probably be the one to go to jail. They're looking for somebody to be the person to go to jail. So they decide our narrator, like, hey, how about you? You should be the one. Let's put you in jail. And she's like, you guys, I had a baby 6 weeks ago. And still they're like, so? Well, number one, no. Number two, I'm breastfeeding. I'm not going to go to jail in Myanmar.
That's trash.
They are trash. And if you were around for the Sheryl Sandberg lean in era, what was that 20 years ago, where she talked about how you can have it all and be a mother and be the CEO at Facebook? You just have to lean in. It's bullshit. You guys, Sheryl Sandberg is bullshit.
That book was so eye-opening. I'm so glad that you have now listened to it, too. Thank goodness that woman had a nice accent and was good to listen to, because what you learn, you want to vomit.
That's what I was going to say. Yes. So, Carolyn, you've listened to this book as well.
I have.
So I just wrote it down, but here's my thing. I'm so angry about so many other things right now. Is that just going to make me angry? Because
It's all part of the same thing.
Every day on my walk with my dog, Frankie, I listen while I have to, you know, empty the dishwasher, make the bed, you know, whatever. I listen, or if I'm cooking dinner. And so sometimes I just need something that's a nice escape.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, I'm really interested in this story. So I feel like
You may not have to read the whole thing, Michelle. If you can dip in and out when, you know, you might not have to do it cover to cover, but you'll get enough of the story to understand where you stand on Facebook and whether or not you should be there and participate in it and give Mark Zuckerberg your money. Because our eyeballs, even though we're not handing over money to him, our eyeballs and our attention are money in the bank for him. And if we remove our eyeballs and our attention, he doesn't line his pockets. And, you know, as you know, he's doing quite well. He's doing fine for himself.
It's the reason we all got rid of Hulu and Disney Plus, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, all things. But it's
Mike is like slowly backing down the stairs. The other thing I want to tell you about quickly is, as I said, I don't listen to fiction really. However, Daisy Jones and the Six, I did listen to for a very important reason. I know this is a book that came out a long time ago and the show came out a long time ago, but I'm reviving it for the people who don't listen to audiobooks because it has an all-star cast and it is in an interview format. So it's all dialogue. Oh. And the cast is Jennifer Beals, Benjamin Bratt, Judy Greer. An all-star cast.
This is our generation.
Yes, it is. These are our people. And if you haven't read Daisy Jones and the Six, this is a story that is supposed to be, it's a fictionalized story of Fleetwood Mac, essentially. So then the place that sent me was to listen to the music that was created for the show, the limited series of Daisy Jones and the Six. There's actually a soundtrack that goes with that series.
Great.
Oh, you guys, it's so good. Even though it came out a long time ago, I am still listening to it. And that doesn't happen very often. Music comes and goes really fast. If you were, this is essentially like listening to a current day Fleetwood Mac. And it fills the bill for every moment of my day. It's almost like I just can't let go of it. It's so, so good. It's Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham is what you can hear in these songs that are new.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's really good.
I read that so long ago and I loved the series. Does Riley, I can never say her last name right, but does she sing?
I was gonna say Keo, that's not right.
I know. Does she sing those songs on there?
Oh, yes, she does.
Yeah, because in the show she did. So I was just wondering if that was made. But it's
Elvis's granddaughter is singing on this. She's fantastic.
Well, and if you do need another good listen, I'm going to forget what it's called now, but you have to listen to the book that she picked, her mother's Lisa Marie Presley. And you yes. have to listen to that because Lisa Marie had written most of it. And then when she died suddenly, Riley took the manuscript and she yeah. finished it for her. Lisa Keough. Marie had said, yeah.
Riley Keough.
Keough. Yeah, she yeah. finished it. So Julia Roberts reads the part of Lisa Marie.
Oh my
but
God.
You get a lot of audio tapes. So Lisa Marie had told stories on audio tape. Oh, hundreds wow. of hours, and she plays those in the audio book. So I listened to that in like 3 days time, and it was right after I lost my mom, and the first 10 pages just I fell to my knees. It
oh
was
my God. And just I can't even remember what the title mm-hmm. of that one is. Do you remember?
I can't either, but just go
Riley
and
Keough, Lisa Marie,
and Lisa Marie Presley's book, yeah.
Autobiography.
But I highly mm-hmm. recommend it. Yeah, listen though to it. Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds like one to by far forego the print and go straight to audio.
I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is really great, you guys. We're firing on all cylinders here. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. This is our last, I was going to say issue. This is our last issue of
last
PCPS
can.
Lite. And next week, we're going to kick off season 17. Are we
what?
Saying what? Are we going to say what the episode is? Are we saying?
I mean, let's just wait.
Okay.
We're not
It'll
even
be
sure.
a surprise.
Are we sure?
yeah, we
know?
Might change our minds, so we're not going to tell you. But it's a good one. No
it's
matter
so
what.
Good.
It is, it's
You're
a good
so
one.
So good.
Excellent. You won't want to miss it.
Thank you for listening, everybody. In the meantime, let's raise our glasses for a toast courtesy of the cast of Three's Company. Two good times.
Two happy days.
To Little House on the Prairie.
Cheers.
Bye bye, everybody. The information, opinions, and comments expressed on the Pop Culture Preservation Society podcast belong solely to Carolyn, the Crushologist, and Hello Newman, and are in no way representative of our employers or affiliates. And though we truly believe we are always right, there is always a first time. The PCPS is written, produced, and recorded in Minneapolis, Minnesota, home of the fictional WJM Studios and our beloved Mary Richards. Nanu, nanu, keep on truckin', and may the force be with you.